I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Well, good morning, 12th Street. You may be seated. It is great to see you out this morning. Don't fly away quite yet, all right? We sang that song because everything that we're going to focus in on with the message, Dan and Jan will be visiting us this morning, and what they're going to talk about, we're all going to fly away somewhere someday, right? This life is very short. And what we do here has significance to what will be when we get there. And so we're going to focus in on that this morning. I look forward to everything that's going to happen. If you're here this morning and you're visiting with us, we want to say welcome. This morning, after the morning service, there is a baby shower for Daisy working team. And so ladies, remember that. That'll be taking place in the back. And today is our upward basketball kickoff. So what does that mean? It means that today is the first day that people can go online and register for upward basketball. Also, we have yard signs out at the Welcome Center. We don't have nearly as many as we had last year, which means some of you have them in your garage or in your shed. So don't take another one if you do. Just put it back out in your yard. And we're going to kick off upward. We're hoping to have between 200 and 250 kids and upward this year. And so we're really looking forward to a great year. There are also prayer pins at the Welcome Center. And take one of those prayer pins, and if you don't want to pin it to your clothes, pin it to something that you'll see often. Maybe on a coat or a lapel or just a place where you'll see it often to remind you to pray as we get upward basketball up and going. We put out a plea for some help with the Benevolence Fund, and I just want to say thank you. Over the last 3 weeks, we've had $3,400 come in to fund the Benevolent Fund, so thank you for your generosity. The brick that we used at the beginning of this year, some of you will remember, with that brick, we wrote something on it. We carried it around during the service. Some of you wanted to throw it at me. And then we brought it up and we wrote our sin on it. We gave it to the Lord. Well, if you go out into near my parking place, the pastor's parking place, you'll see that there's been a beautiful bench constructed there and a walkway. And that's all been constructed out of that brick. And because here is what we talked about at the beginning of the year. Here's what God does. He takes all of our shortcomings, all of our failures, all of our sin. And here's what God does. He takes it and he can make something beautiful out of our life from it. And so you can go there and sit and pray and or just go sit and look around and enjoy. We've got some nice plants out there that hopefully will stay alive for a couple more weeks before the snow flies. I want to thank Lynn Anderson and Dave Fagley for building that. You guys did a great job, so thank you. This Thursday, we have those who are going to the Ark and to the Creation Museum. Be here. The bus is leaving at 5 a.m. sharp. Bring your pillow and sleep while Ray drives. And then our trunk or treat is coming up very quickly, and we also have a church family event on October 21st at Harvest Moon Acres, and from 4 to 6 p.m., a lot of stuff to do there, a lot of fun things we'll do as a church family, and we're going to have a race through the corn maze, and I've already sent my daughters, so they know how to get through, so we will win. But a lot of things in the bulletin. Make sure you read what's there, and you be part of something that's happening here at 12th Street. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your great grace for us, that you look upon us with love. And you know that none of us here are perfect, but you are God. And in your great love and kindness, you have decided to save those who will trust you. And there is a great promise that you give us, that when this life is over, we can be with you for eternity. And so, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who has never put their faith and trust in Jesus, I pray this morning that they will. They would know what a beautiful thing it is to know that they have eternity with their Savior in heaven. And Lord, for those who do know you, I pray that this morning we would just be encouraged, that we would be bolder when we leave the doors today, to know that as we go out into the world, that we can make a difference. And so, Lord, to you be all the praise and glory. Use this time to better your church, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. What the pastor didn't tell you is the winner of the race gets to help everybody load their pumpkins in their car, so. We're going to sing The Great I Am. I want to be close, close to your side. So heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one, hallelujah. Holy, holy God Almighty, the great I am, who worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am. I want to be near, near to your heart, loving the world and hating the dark. Wanna see dry bones living again, singing as one, hallelujah. Holy, holy God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am. The mountains shake before you, the demons run and flee at the mention of the name
King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I Am, the great I Am.
Soul now to stand.
what could I say? And what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So what could I say? Offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. So I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. So I'll stand. Heart, oh God, completely to you. Father, we come before you this morning, the great I am, and we want to offer ourselves completely to you, Lord. We would give our lives to you and do things that would be honoring to you. Father, we just want to pray for our pastor this morning as he comes. Father, we just pray you pour your spirit out on him. Prepare us for the message you have for us and open our hearts. And Father, just work on us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we have the ushers come forward, please? You may be seated.
All who have gathered here to hear your word, and Lord, we just ask that through our offering and through our singing that we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
But as a token of my love, this is what I do.
I lift my hands and cry, Lord, you're holy, Lord, you're holy. And we lift you up and magnify your name. Lord, you're holy, Lord, you're holy. And we lift you up and magnify your name.
There's not enough words that I can say to tell you how much I appreciate all the wonderful things you've given me. Your loving kindness, your tender mercy.
It's my desire to praise you and tell you how much I love you.
You're worthy of all the glory,
and you're worthy of all the praise.
I don't know why you love me, why you give me so much mercy. You didn't have to suffer and die for me way back on Calvary.
Just a minute, Dan and Jan are going to come out and teach us. Well, I don't know if they're going to teach us much, but here's what we need to have on our minds this morning as we begin the service. Children, you stay tight. We'll dismiss you after the drama because you don't want to miss it, all right? But here's what we need to have on our minds. We need to have heaven on our minds, okay? As we read through these parables, because Jesus gives quite a few this morning that we're going to look at. All of these parables actually are sowing that's done on earth, planting that's done on earth so that there is a harvesting that takes place in heaven. And so we need to have that in our minds as we begin that this morning. And so at this time, we'll have a little lesson from Dan and Jan.
Would you like a brownie?
Ooh, yeah.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Here
Man,
you go.
They look great.
Oh, and they're fat-free.
Yeah.
So you can eat without guilt.
Really? I think I'll take another one.
Oh.
Nice.
Okay. Well, now, if you want, we could always gather around the piano and sing some American folk songs.
Yes.
Oh, would you rather get out the karaoke machine?
Oh, yes. Right over here. Ooh, look.
Yeah.
Oh, wait till you two hear Jan belt out, Puff the Magic Dragon. Or, if I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the
morning. Actually, Larry and I had a couple of questions we'd like to ask you.
Oh.
Okay. Well,
okay.
You see, Mom and Dad just moved us here from Kansas, and we go to First Church here in town. Oh. But when we go to church, we see how much we don't know about the Bible yet.
We are a little confused.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I thought you both looked confused ever since you moved here to Kalamazoo.
Oh, Jan, you're such a joker. Don't tease the poor lads.
Oh.
So tell me, boys, what's the confusion all about?
Heaven.
Heaven?
Yeah, you see, our confusion is about heaven. You see, Mom and Dad said, since you guys have been Christians for years, that maybe you guys could help us.
Like, we've heard heaven called by other names. Does heaven have other names?
Well, John, would you like to take this one?
Oh, kind of drawing a blank here, honey.
Of course you are.
You can go, precious.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Okay, well, heaven is also called paradise. You know, the celestial city, the city of angels.
The city of lights?
Oh, yeah. The city that never sleeps. Yeah.
The city of brotherly love.
Oh, yes. And we mustn't forget the Emerald City. Beautiful green.
Oh, no, wait, honey. I don't think that's it. Wasn't the Emerald City part of the Wizard of Oz?
Oh, goodness gracious, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the reason I said that was because of the yellow brick road that runs through heaven.
That's right. You're so smart.
Wait, I thought it was the streets of gold, not the yellow brick road.
Well, yellow, gold, maize, mustard, they're all the same color palette.
Right, hey. And isn't the important thing that you know we're all going to be there together?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I want to know, what will heaven look like?
Okay,
yeah.
Well, heaven will be very lovely.
Oh, yes.
It's not like somebody went there on the weekend and brought me back a picture.
Oh, no, goodness, no. We just have to take his word for it, that it's a really swanky place.
Yeah.
What will we do in heaven?
Well, what will we do? Well, we'll probably be playing the harp, you know?
Cloud racing, you know?
yeah. We'll probably just be walking around in awe with our mouths open.
Oh, yeah. We might even be able to get some autographs of the biggies up there, huh?
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, floating will be a big part of our day.
Yeah.
Is that all we'll do in heaven?
Oh, well, no, honey. I'm sure that you already know we'll be singing.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be part of the Munchkin Choir.
Oh, right, Munchkin Choir. Come
la, 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 la,
la, la.
You know.
Yeah.
We welcome you to Beulah Land.
Oh, yeah. It's like we'll be part of the welcoming committee. Come on in. Yeah.
When we're done with that, we'll be setting up house.
Oh, yeah.
Setting up house?
Yeah.
Yeah! You know we're all going to have a mansion. So we'll have to be looking for the carpet and the drapes and the tile and all of that takes time.
Oh, I thought that the Bible said that Jesus was already preparing us a place.
Okay.
Okay.
But it doesn't hurt for us to pitch in and help out a little, does it?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Is that before or after we get our new bodies?
Well, what new bodies?
I thought it said in the Bible that we get new, perfect, I mean, perfect bodies.
Well, sort of. Actually, I think we get one of three choices. We get a brain, we get a heart, or we get some courage.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, wait, honey.
What? What'd I say? What'd I say?
That, too, is from the Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I meant to say was, we'll get a pure, clean brain and heart when we get to our heavenly home.
Because there's no place like home.
Oh, that's right.
There's
no place like home.
There's no place like home.
Wait. And there will be no more crying.
No more crying. No more sighing. And no more lying.
Yeah! And no aging. Oh, no. I can't wait to take advantage of that one.
And we're all going to wear white.
Oh, we're going to have hair just like mine.
Oh, nice. And just think, we can have conversations like this for eternity. Because up there, there's no time.
That's right. So the four of us could sit around and talk for what would be like thousands of years.
Yes.
I think we should go.
Yeah, I think I hear Mom and Dad pulling in the driveway.
But wait, are you in a hurry? You haven't even taken a bite of your brownie.
Dad's bringing home pizza, you know. We don't think we should ruin our appetites.
Okay.
Well, that's all right, you know. We can always continue our conversation another night.
Okay.
We do appreciate the information you gave us about heaven, though.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, it sure sounds a lot different than what they taught last week in Sunday school.
Well, you're not in Kansas anymore, honey.
Well, good night.
Oh, bye-bye.
Good night. Oh, Jan, darling. Do you think we are going to get to spend eternity with those little rascals?
You know, they're just precious. Oh. I just tell you, they're so precious.
They are?
Yeah.
I'm so glad that we could help them get a better grip on heaven.
Me too.
Yeah. And impart our spiritual knowledge.
Yes, sirree. Yeah.
Did you know what you were talking about?
Well, I did feel more confident than I did the other week when Kevin and his wife were here.
Good point.
Yeah. But I think that verse-a-day email I'm getting, it's just not working for me.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe I'm going to have to actually get the Bible and read it.
Yeah. I'm clearly getting my stories mixed up a little.
A little?
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be another Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Oh, why? Who tell you why?
All right, well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, as we continue with the parables of Jesus from the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start reading in verse 21. Mark 4:21, it says this, "And he said to them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye shall meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall it be taken, even that which he has. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. If a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise up night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, and then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out great branches, so that the birds of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Let's pray together. Lord God, I pray that you would bless your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the previous parable before Jesus shared these was the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. And the takeaway from that parable was, we are the soil. So which soil are you? We should be producing fruit for the Lord. If we're not producing fruit, then we're not the proper soil. So we shouldn't be wayside, we shouldn't be stony, and we shouldn't be surrounded by the cares and the thrills of this world. And so Jesus follows that up. He goes right into some more parables. Now, let's just understand this about parables. Parables were not to be understood by the unbelievers. And some of you are sitting here going, I just read those, and I feel just like Dan and Jan. All right? I don't get this. Well, here's the problem. Parables are earthly stories that have a heavenly meaning. They are an earthly example of an eternal concept. And so as Jesus shared these things, he tried to use things that they would look at and see every day, things that would stick in their mind. Would they necessarily make the connection from the earthly to the heavenly? Jesus had to explain it even to his own disciples. So if you're having trouble with it, it's okay. Hopefully by the time you leave today, you understand the basic concept. Because really, what he's talking about here is different than the first parable. The first parable dealt with the way that man receives his word. He is the one that gives his word into our hearts. This second set of parables are all about what we do with our lives. Once we are producing fruit, what does this fruit do in the world around us? So, think about it this way. We have these little tomatoes that are growing in a pot, and they're little cherry tomatoes, but they're called, we call them in our family, Thaddeus tomatoes. Because when I was 2 years old, I came home from Sunday school with some tomato seeds. And my mom has kept them going now for all those years. For all 30 years I've been alive. She's kept them going. And so we've got these Thaddeus tomatoes, and we still have them in our front yard. You know what happens? These Thaddeus tomatoes, they grow, we're able to eat them, but they produce seeds inside of them. And my mom every year takes those seeds. She dries them out. She replants them. And they grow. This is what we are supposed to understand from these parables. When God's word produces fruit in our life, we now take this word that's been growing in us, the fruit that's been produced in our life, and we now plant into the soil of this earth. And how do we do that? We do that with our deeds. We do that with our actions. We do this with our conversations. And what we plant will grow up in significance, and we will harvest in heaven. So let's look at these things. First of all, Jesus talks about the light. Number one in your bulletin, the light bearers. Jesus is the light that came into the world. We are not to hide his light, but to let it shine. So how many of you remember the song, This Little Light of Mine, right? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, right? I can't sing. Rachel said, please don't sing anymore, so I'll stop. All right, this little light of mine, okay? Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm gonna let it shine. This is exactly what Jesus is saying. When fruit is produced in your life, it's going to make a difference. And so don't take the light of Jesus that he's planted in you and conceal it to others. Don't hide it. You need to let your light shine. And then the second thing we see is that what we do with the Word of God determines what we will receive from his Word. That is why in the parable of the sower and the seed, the non-fruit-bearing soil is dead. It has nothing. But now in this parable, those who have much for the Lord are given much. This is a theme of many other parables. Read through Matthew, and you'll read about all these parables where to whom much is given, when the harvest comes, when they go to heaven, they have more. Or those who don't have anything, it's taken from them and given to those who have. Read through Luke, and you'll read some parables where the people who invest with the talents that God gives them, when the master returns, when Jesus returns, those who have invested much have much. And from those who have invested nothing, it's taken away from them and given to them who have invested much. So here's something that's just interesting about heaven. In heaven, we rule with Christ. Now, there's a 1,000-year period called the millennium. That's a period of time here on this earth. And we reign with Christ during that time. But then beyond that time, there are jobs that we will have in heaven. Things that we will do. We think about sitting around on a cloud all day, right? Strumming our harp or cloud racing, right? That's not what heaven is like. There's responsibility in heaven. We will be praising God. It will be the greatest experience. We can't even imagine it. But there is responsibility in heaven. And what we sow into earth now, we will reap in heaven. Those who are giving much, paying diligent attention to the Word of God, and letting the Word of God dictate the way that they live, when they get to heaven, you will experience responsibility. You will have more. And there are some, when they get to heaven, they'll have little. You know what? To be in heaven is good enough all on its own, right? Now, as I preach this message this morning, don't in any way think, well, boy, I don't know if I want to go to that place. It's much better than the alternative, the lake of fire, where you're tormented day and night forever and ever. There's no rest, okay? Heaven is good enough. But I want to encourage you this morning, because this is what Jesus is trying to do with the people as he shares these parables. I want to inspire you to more on this earth so that you get the most out of eternity. The third thing we see in these parables is this is the way that the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God works on the more you've invested on earth, the more you get in heaven. Okay, that's how it works. So everyone that has lived for the Lord, produced fruit, let their light shine, they'll have their responsibilities. So then Jesus shares another parable. It's for us. This parable, we are the farmer, the seed is the works that we do. So first of all, the kingdom of heaven is like a small seed that falls into the ground, right? A small little seed, it falls into the ground. The farmer doesn't make the seed grow. Okay, how many of you in here have ever done any farming? Anybody here? Any planting? Anybody do any planting? Anybody raise any flowers, grow any flowers? Anybody do it from the seed up? Okay. You made that seed grow, didn't you? You made it work, right? You somehow, like, you. Some people have a green thumb, some people have a black thumb, right? And you with your green thumb, no, you see, we can create good conditions for the seed. The seeds that we plant in this earth, understand this, you don't control the fruit of those seeds here on earth. But there's a great promise here. They will produce a fruit at some point. And it will be produced in heaven. Now, the farmer doesn't make it grow. The farmer simply puts it in the ground and then trusts. Just trusts. Third thing, it takes time to grow. First, a plant sprouts, and then there are some leaves, and ultimately it bears fruit. And then the fourth thing is, when the fruit is ready, then it is harvested. God reaps when the harvest is ready. He puts the sickle in, and he collects the harvest when it's ready. So I've got a little video I want you to show that illustrates what this parable just talked about. So you can see here, we've got our little seed in the soil. And the seed's going to grow. It grows very slowly. It only takes a minute, so we'll see it. Is it playing? Okay. It's growing very slowly. But you can see that the roots are growing out here, right? What did we talk about last week? That the only plants that produced the fruit that remained, that held true, that was bountiful, was those who had a deep root system. And Jesus is our root system. And so as the root system grows, then the plant's able to sprout up. And as the plant sprouts up, first you have the stalk, then you have the leaves, and then you see that the fruit will begin to bear, to grow on it. And that's how this works, is this little seed as it's been planted. Now, the person who did this, they had no control over the growth of it, right? They had to trust that it would grow. If it were me, I'd have had to have three of them going, and hopefully one of them would have survived. But that's the way that the planting works. And then you see it grows, and now you have a nice, beautiful plant. Okay? That's exactly what the scripture said there. That's just a visual picture of it. Then Jesus pushes the point a little bit further. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a small seed, a mustard seed, that falls into the ground and produces a large tree. Now, a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? It's more like dust, right? Than it is an actual seed. I mean, it is just absolutely tiny. And you take that little mustard seed and you put it into the ground, and it goes through that whole process of the root system growing out and putting up a little stalk. And then eventually it grows into a tree where birds can live under the shadow of the tree or live in the branches of the tree. So something that started off as just a little speck of dust could grow that large. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is why we need to be planting our good works, our good deeds, our life for Christ into this earth. This is why we follow the Spirit in our lives. This is why we do all we can to let other people know of our faith, because we don't know what will become of that seed. But it starts so small. Think about Jesus. You have a whole world out there living for itself. And Jesus comes, he dies on the cross. He was buried, and the third day he rose again. Then after he rose again, he appeared to over 500 people. And then he ascended up into heaven and he told his disciples, I'm coming back. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them everything that I've commanded you. I'm coming back. And so you have 11 of the apostles. Then you have Paul, who comes on later, the Apostle Paul. You have 120 that are in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit, the promise of God or Jesus to them. And you think, out of all the people in the world, he appeared to over 500 people after he rose again. And only 120 were in the upper room. You know what? Small little seed that Jesus planted into this world. And you know what the true seed was? It was himself when he died and he was buried. He put a seed into the ground that created not just a movement, but it created a spiritual hope, an awakening for mankind that we could be forgiven for our sin so that we could be saved. And he gave that message to his disciples. And they went into all the world. They went to every corner of the earth and preached the gospel. And today, all over the place, right now as we meet, there are hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, who meet and talk about Jesus Christ and preach the gospel of Jesus. That small little seed grew into something extraordinary. So here's my question to you. What are you putting into the ground for the kingdom? What are you investing into this life for the kingdom of heaven? See, some of us, we think, oh, I got saved, so I'm going to heaven, so that's it. Now I just do what I want because I'm going to heaven. I got my ticket, right? You see, that's not what the Christian life was intended to be. It wasn't for him to just save us and then, woohoo, we're on our way to heaven. No, he saves us so we can produce fruit. Anyone who doesn't produce fruit is cut down, we looked at last week, and cast into the fire. So we should be producing fruit. As we produce fruit, now we have to take the seeds and plant into other people's lives. We need to take and plant into the world. So, turn with me real quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's look at verse 6 together. It says, I have planted, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. The Bible is very active in its description of what we should be doing as Christians. This is a really big challenge for all of us. God does not call you to a static Christian life. God does not call you to sit by and watch. God does not call you to say, I believe in Jesus, I'm on my way to heaven, and that's the end. No, that's just the beginning point. That's the launching point. Because now that we're saved, there's work to do. And if you aren't willing to do the work, then I would be very scared this morning. Because the fruit that God produces in a believer's life, anyone who has the root of Jesus Christ growing in their life, you will produce fruit for the Lord. And part of that fruit will be a desire to work for Him. And if you have no desire to work for God, you have no desire to share the gospel, you have no desire to do good in front of other people so they can know the gospel, if you have no desire to live out the life that God wants for you rather than what you want for yourself, then I would look at my life and go, wow, do I even have the fruit of Christ? Because if you don't, those trees are cut down, those plants are cut down and cast into the fire. Only those who labor, who work, are the ones who know they're saved. Not by their own work, but by the work that Jesus is doing through them. So number two, what efforts are you making for the kingdom of heaven? What efforts are you making for the kingdom of heaven? Number three, what you put in is what you will get out. See, we can think of heaven like, I've talked to a lot of people who are sportsmen here on earth, and they say, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to fish. You might fish in heaven. I don't know. There's no death, so you'll have to eat a live fish. I don't know how that works, but you know, maybe you'll be fishing in heaven. You won't be able to use a worm because you can't kill the worm. I don't know how all that would work, but maybe God lets you enjoy that in heaven. I don't know. But you have the wrong thought about heaven. Heaven is not what am I going to get, what is God going to give to me. Heaven is about what am I putting in for him. Because someday, when we get to heaven, we will give back to him. Whatever we put here on earth, we'll all go back to him in heaven. And so, what you put in is what you will get out. Now, you will enjoy heaven more than you can ever imagine. Okay? But some of us will enjoy heaven more than others. Some of us will have greater joy, especially at the onset, than others. You know, at the beginning of eternity, before God wipes away all the tears, there are people crying. You know that before God says everything is new, there are people that are regretting the old. And I'm here this morning through these parables that Jesus shared to tell you, you don't want to regret then. So live now. Number four, what we sow into the grounds of this earth in our actions is what we will get in return, reap in heaven. Some of your responsibilities and experiences in heaven will be built by your works here on earth. Read with me verse 9 in 1 Corinthians 3. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's farmers. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, straw, every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he will receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Number five in your bulletin, what we build here, we have there. So, the Apostle Paul, it's in the same vein of what Jesus has been teaching, talks about building here on earth and receiving in heaven. Jesus used it with planting. Paul started out talking that way, but now went on to building. So, whenever you build, you have to have a foundation. If you don't have a foundation, your building will fall apart. So, the foundation for our lives, you can't build anything for heaven unless you're built on Jesus Christ. So now, what are you building on Jesus Christ? He talks about three good things and three bad things. Gold, silver, precious stones. Okay? All of those things, if you were to put them through a fire, will come through the fire and be more pure and better than before you put them through the fire. Then he talks about wood, hay, and straw. You put wood, you put hay, you put straw through a fire, you get ashes. We're all building something here on this earth that is for heaven. Whether you know it or not, the works that you do, the things that you say, the people that you influence, every day the opportunities that you take advantage of to obey or disobey God, they all build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And some people are building things that will burn up. You say, but I'm saved, and so none of my works matter. No, no, no. You're saved so that none of your works will be, none of your sin will be held against you when it comes to going to heaven. But when you get to heaven, your works will be made manifest. Your works will all be put on display. All the good and all the bad. You say, well, I thought I was forgiven for my sin. You are. You're not being held accountable for it. Jesus paid for it. But you are still building for heaven. And everything that we've done, good or bad, will pass through a fire. And all the bad that we've done, all your bad works, burnt up, gone, no more memory. After that takes place, there can be no more sorrow in heaven. Because the bad works burned, done. The good works pass through. The Bible talks to us about casting our crowns at Jesus' feet. Can you imagine all the works that you've done here on earth? And they go through the fire, and they burn up. And all you have left are ashes. And everybody else is taking the works that they've done here on earth, gold, silver, precious metals, and they've passed through the fire, and now they've got something more pure. And they're taking that, and they're saying, Jesus, I don't need this. I want to give them to you, because when I did them on earth, I did them for you anyway. And they cast before Jesus all of the good works that they've been able to do. And what a joy it will be for those people to have something to throw at the feet of Jesus. And there you are with your ashes. You grab your pile of ashes. That's all you have. Others are throwing beautiful things at the feet of Jesus. And you're going to look at this life and you're going to say, I wish I had done more for my Lord. Because the seed that you put into this earth is going to grow into a harvest in heaven. Whether it's good or bad. I'm here this morning to tell you, you don't have to throw ashes at the feet of Jesus. There can be gold and silver and precious metals that you can gift back to Jesus when you get to heaven. But it takes you investing right now. I've got another little time lapse here to show. What we build here, we'll have there. And I just want you, as this place, what you plant, what you build on here on earth is going to build into something that you'll give to the Lord in heaven. See, the foundation is always laid first. Jesus is the foundation of our lives. If your life isn't built on the foundation of Jesus, there's no heaven for you. But then what do you build on top? Are you building something beautiful? Or are you building something that's shameful? That's good. I want you to think of heaven this way. I'm going to close with this little parable. This is a Thaddeus parable, okay? How many of you have a retirement plan? Raise your hand. All right, if you don't, get a retirement plan, okay? Unless you're just planning on dying before retirement, and I guess, you know, hey, then you don't need one, right? I know that when I die, I will go to heaven. Not because I'm good, but because Jesus Christ was good enough to pay for my sin. And I trust him. We are all investing into heaven. What are you investing? Things that will produce ash or things that are of value? What are you investing into heaven? We have our 401ks, our 403bs, we have our IRAs and our, you know, all these things here on earth. We are investing into heaven whether you know it or not. Jesus shared this parable to say, listen, you can have good investments. And every single one of us can have good investments. We're building on the chief cornerstone of Jesus. So what are you building? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you allow us to invest into heaven. We don't get to heaven by anything we do, and I thank you for that, because we'd never get there, not a single one of us. But because of what Jesus has done for us, when we trust you, you are the foundation. You're the root of our life. You are the foundation stone for heaven. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, as we build in this life, that we'll build something for your glory in heaven. Lord, maybe there's some people here this morning who've never trusted you. I pray that right now they would just call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because, Lord, you save. And Lord, I pray for those who are Christians this morning. There are some here, Lord, that they're not building a thing for you. There will be shame, and there will be regret, and there will be agony in the mind and in the heart, because they'll have nothing to show for the life that you gave for them. So, Lord, I just pray that you would help us all this morning to be motivated. I thank you, Lord, that we can give back something to you someday. And I thank you that those things that we give to you, that we can right now be investing into our heaven. And so, God, I just pray that we'd be thinking about these things, motivated by them, and as we close with the song, that if anyone needs to trust you, that they would just have the courage, the boldness to come to the front and to tell me that they want to trust you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, if there's any Christians that need to confess some sin, forsake some things in their life, lay aside some evils that are holding them back, I pray, Lord, they would do so. Lord, for the Christian this morning that's like, man, I'm building gold. I've got some precious metals that are being framed for heaven. I thank you, Lord. I pray they'd be encouraged this morning. They'd be motivated to say, I'm going to keep on because I am excited about what my God is allowing me to build. So, Lord, we just pray that you'd have your way as we close this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and let's sing this song, Cornerstone.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same storm. He is Lord, Lord of shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne.
If we were to start building if we all could choose a floor plan for a house, some of us, we'd be picking out some real nice tile, right? And some real nice countertops, much better than the ones we have right now. And we would pick the very best. And you know what? God is allowing you right now to build something great, to lay at his feet in heaven. It's a wonderful gift that he gives us now. So, you have opportunity this week to build something special for Jesus. So go and do it. Give him something great. Let's pray together. Lord God, because of you and your grace, we have such great hope. Lord, I thank you that no matter what we do on this earth, what you have done is enough to save us from our sin. And I thank you, Lord, for those who know you as Lord and Savior, because we will spend eternity in heaven with you, and it will far exceed our greatest expectations. Lord, I do ask that we would have great wisdom, that we would be master builders here on this earth, building something incredible for you. So now, unto him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, be glory and honor and power and dominion, both now and forever. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Live for him.